First, I want to welcome everyone here and thank you for your presence. We are all dear brothers and sisters to each other, and not only to each other, far beyond this, to all of humanity, and one can say, all living things. So again, the subject of today's readings have been, and this sermon will be, illuminating our path towards a greater understanding and forgiveness. Hazarat and Icon teaches us that all tragedy of life, all misery and inharmony are caused by one thing, and that is lack of understanding. Lack of understanding comes from lack of penetration. The one who does not see from the point of view from which he ought to see becomes disappointed because she cannot understand. It is not for the outer world to help us to understand life better. It is we ourselves who should help ourselves to understand life better. Again, the key phrase here is, all misery in life comes from lack of understanding. And lack of understanding comes from lack of penetration. It is our responsibility to train ourselves to understand life better. And how? How do we do this? Here, Hazrat and Ayat gives us the answer through penetration. Through concentration, contemplation, meditation. In the Hindu scriptures, it's from the Chandogya Upanishad on the subject of meditation as Brahma. It said today, here we heard it read, he who meditates on understanding as Brahma attains the worlds of understanding and knowledge. And again, we could ask, what does it mean to meditate on understanding as Brahma? We might answer, it means that we penetrate beyond the surface of our ordinary mind. We've all heard it said, perhaps, but it bears worth repeating here. The great Sufi mystic and scholar, Ibn Arabi, taught us, seek to know that which transpires behind that which appears. Meditating on understanding as Brahma, with the concentrated mind of Brahma, penetrating the hidden meaning beyond the surfaces of appearances. We did not hear it read here, but it could be said, things are not as they appear, nor are they otherwise. This is one of the great Buddhist teachings. Things are not as they appear, nor are they otherwise. From the great sutra, the Prajnaparamita. Think of that. Hazrat and Icon tells us, God is everywhere. The inner life does not consist of closing the eyes and looking inward. The inner life is to look outward and inwardly and to find one's beloved everywhere. It goes on to say, and I'm reading from a passage from The Inner Life, if you'd like to know that. But God cannot be made a beloved unless the love element is awakened sufficiently. The one who hates his enemy and loves his friend cannot call God his beloved, for he does not know God. When love comes to its fullness, then one looks at the friend with affection, on the enemy with forgiveness, on the stranger with sympathy. There is love in all its aspects expressed when love rises to its fullness. And it is the fullness of love which is worth offering to God. It is then that man recognizes in God his beloved, his ideal. And by that, although he rises above the narrow affection of the world, he is the one who really knows how to love. Who really knows how to love. True equanimity. Like the sun. The sun doesn't distinguish. I like this flower, I don't like that flower. I like this place, I don't like that place. I like this person, I don't like that person. The sun shines on all equally. This is clicking here, I'm so sorry. Can I move this a little bit? Palms, I think it's flipped around. Sometimes it's good to take a little break and think about what we've said. It's okay now. Yeah, it's good. You finish. Chivalry. I love that aspect of chivalry, one of the great teachings of Murshid also, huh? I'm continuing with Murshid and I Khan's words that say, it is the lover of God who knows love when he rises to the stage of fullness of love, tolerance, and all moral principles. All deeds of kindness and beneficence take root in the soil of a loving heart. Generosity, charity, adaptability, an accommodating nature, even renunciation, are the offspring of love alone. The great and rare chosen beings who for ages have been looked upon as the ideal in the world are the possessors of hearts kindled with love. All evil sin come from the lack of love. And you know that sin means, from the ancient Greek, to miss the mark. To miss the mark. In the Dhammapada, we heard it read, with single-mindedness, a master quells his thoughts. He ends his wandering. Quelling one's thoughts could be understood by a concentrated, single-minded effort so that the energy of any one experience, beyond good, bad, like, dislike, just pure energy, that moment is used to penetrate the obscurations that can lead to our greater understanding. So think of happy, sad, joy, anger, frustration, just as pure energy. concentrated, put it towards a situation that will allow that situation to be penetrated and the obscurations blown like the dust on a mirror blown away. Or in the great deserts, perhaps some of you have had the opportunity to be in the Sahara, where the great winds of change come and all footprints are removed. The Dhammapada reading goes on to say, how can a troubled mind understand the way? If a man is disturbed, he will never be filled with knowledge. An untroubled mind, no longer seeking to consider what is right and what is wrong, a mind beyond judgment, watches and understands. You know, they say silence is golden. It's a really interesting thing to consider. Watches and understands. Hazrat Anayat Khan gives us an instructive pathway leading to greater understanding. And he teaches us, in the attainment of the inner life, there are five moral principles. The first moral principle is constantly to avoid hurting the feeling of another. Constantly to avoid hurting the feeling of another. In the Holy Bible, the New Testament, we heard it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And this is one of the great commandments. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We are words unless we put them to practice. They're not so easy to do sometimes. The second moral principle, as given to us by Hazrat Anayat Khan in the development of the inner life, is to avoid being affected by the constantly jarring influences which every soul has to meet in life. In the Old Testament of the Holy Bible, we heard, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. And the third moral principle of Hazrat Anayat Khan is this, to keep balance under all different situations and conditions which upset the tranquil state of mind. To highlight this third principle, to keep balance under all situations and conditions which upset the tranquil state of mind. We turn to a teaching in the Unity of Religious Ideals, where Hazrat Anayat Khan teaches us, think of the life of the great Master Jesus. One sees that from beginning to end, there was nothing but love and forgiveness in the manner of Jesus. It is by unifying our hearts and minds with this Master, Master Jesus, that we can seize the vitality of mystical transformation. And we can use and embrace difficulties, challenges, the hurtfulness of another's thoughtlessness, and unite with the example Jesus gave us during his great martyrdom. As our beloved Jesus hung on the cross, he cried out, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. Friends, our lives in all situations and in all conditions, from one point of view, we can only see as troublesome. But With a penetrating awareness, we can begin to view life's troubles as little crucifixions that give us the opportunity to experience in some small measure what Jesus did in his life and in his death. We can learn to take the greatest of difficulties, misunderstandings, and challenges as transformational opportunities to practice real forgiveness, which develops in us a quality of character and will ennoble our souls. Returning to the list of the 5 moral principles taught by Hazrat Inayat Khan, the 4th moral principle is to love unceasingly all those who deserve love and give to the undeserving forgiveness. And this is continually practiced. The 5th principle is highlighted in our reading today from the Holy Quran, Surah 24. And it says, "You should greet one another with the greeting of peace prescribed by Allah, blessed and pure. Thus Allah makes his revelations clear to you so that you may grow in understanding." The 5th moral principle in the development of the inner life is detachment amidst the crowd. But by detachment, it is not meant separation. By detachment, it is to be understood as rising above those bondages which bind us and keep us back from our journey toward the goal. In the Zend Avesta, we heard, "We worship the mountain that gives understanding and perseverance. We worship it by day and night." From this small teaching, we can learn that when one's mind is full of praise and offering by day and night, keeping our beloved before our view, whatever is arising, remember, things are not as they appear, nor are they otherwise. But by keeping the view of the beloved there, no matter what is arising, we can refocus our attention on the sublime vision of awakened understanding. Further, when it is said, "We worship the mountain that gives understanding," we can understand here the metaphor. The mountain is something here on this earth with great stability and great grandeur. And yet, it's reaching towards the heaven. Another beautiful metaphor given by Hazrat Inayat Khan is the mirror, where he teaches, "When the mind is troubled, it is confused. It cannot reflect anything. It is the stillness of mind that makes one capable of receiving impressions and of reflecting them. It is the stillness of mind that, again, makes one capable of receiving impressions and reflecting them." In Persian, the mind is called mir. Everything in front of the mir appears in it. But when the object is taken away, the mirror is clear. It does not remain. It remains in the mirror as long as the mirror is focused on it. And so it is with the mind. We had that beautiful teaching also yesterday of deconstructing, being able to remove those impressions. Inayat Khan teaches us It is forgiveness and forbearance, which is a recognition of the freedom and dignity of the human being. Forgiveness and forbearance. Freedom and dignity. And that consumes all ugliness and burns up all unworthiness, leaving only beauty there. One of my friends in America, he's actually now the executive director of the Worldwide Unity Movement, says, hanging on to one's anger is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. You understand? It hurts us. We're keeping it constantly in that mirror, and we're framing it, and we're looking at it, we're concentrating on it. Keeping anger in our heart is like eating poison and waiting for the other person to die. Oh my gosh. Again, I say this quote by Mershad. It is forgiveness and forbearance, which is a recognition of the freedom and dignity of the human spirit, that consumes all ugliness and burns up all unworthiness, leaving only beauty there. May God bless us with hearts consumed and thirsting for divine illumination, where all that remains in our hearts is the sublime expression and realization of divine love, divine forgiveness, and divine understanding.